Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Tom's Hardware Show. I am your host, Michelle Earhart, as always. Joining me today are senior editors Andrew Friedman and Jared Walton. Today, we are talking about the God of War PC port, which is the latest in Sony's recent console to PC conversions, and about our benchmarks that Jared ran for us, and comparing it against the sort of anecdotal experiences Andrew and I had on PS5 and base PS4, respectively. So without further ado, let's run the thing. So again, welcome to the Tom's Hardware Show. As always, feel free to leave your questions in the various comment boxes down below, whatever platform you're watching them on, and we will get to them as we progress through the show. But Andrew, Jared, God of War, what are your thoughts on the new PC port and how it compares to previous versions?
It's the best God of War game I've ever played. I've never played God of War before.
I figured that was probably coming next from the way that you framed it.
I haven't played them all, but it is the best God of War game I ever played. I played more than one of them. And I think this is really exciting. I mean, as part of Sony's plan to see this particular game come, because I know so many people really loved it on the PS4 Pro and the PS5. We'll get to the PS4 in a minute, I'm sure, Michelle. So that it's cool to see something that so many people love get open to more people. I just think that's kind of a win for everybody, even if it took a long time to get there.
I agree. As long as we're comparing it to past God of War games, I would also say it's the best God of War game I've played, even though I technically haven't finished it yet. And there's a reason for that. But yeah, I remember playing the first one in college, I believe. And even in my 20s, I was like, this is too much teenage angst for me. I can't deal with it. But, you know, this one, Kratos is soft and he's a dad and he's got a beard now. You know, it's perfectly aimed at the millennial crowd.
He's a bad dad, bad father.
He is a bad dad. But, you know, I can fix him, Jared.
That's
I can
right.
fix him. You can fix him.
Yeah.
We're going to change this episode to entirely on fixing.
How to fix Kratos. Well, actually, this did kind of fix Kratos, because the reason I never finished the original game is because I tried playing it on base PS4, which was a native 1080p, I believe locked at 30 FPS, but like constantly stuttering, constantly dropping frames on my system, and I didn't have access to a better way to play it now. I do have a PS5 now, and I haven't gotten around to playing it. I know Andrew has played it on PS5. But Jared, there is now a way to fix Kratos and make him play better, right?
Yeah, you just fire up your PC, and if you've got a good graphics card, which, I mean, from my testing, like, I only tested at 4K as the target resolution because the game runs in borderless windowed mode. I mean, you can do a window, but I'm like, who wants to play in a window that occupies part of your screen? Anyway, so borderless windowed. So if you want to play at less than 4K on a 4K screen, then you have to like change your desktop resolution, jump through some hoops. And I'm like, that's annoying. So I just tested at 4K and I tested with DLSS and Fidelity FX super resolution modes just to show like those don't show like actual native 1080p performance, but FSR performance mode is 1080p upscaled to 4K in this case. And it's close enough, right? Like, and the thing is like when you look at the performance, an RX 5600 XT, you know, that's a mid-range card from a couple years back. It was able to get up to 64 frames per second at original quality with FSR quality mode. So the 1440p upscaled to 4K. Like, that's totally playable. And if the RX 5600 XT can do that at 1440p, then it kind of follows that, yeah, most graphics cards are going to be able to handle this pretty well as long as you're not, like, on a budget card. So I think everything from, like, I think even, like, a 1050 Ti, I think that's what their minimum recommendation is. That will probably still be able to do 1080p original quality, which is effectively medium quality.
And actually, I'm looking at the minimum, and it says 960.
So. Oh, yeah. So that's, well, 960 is interesting because the 950 and the 960 are, at least when they launched, or at least when the 1050 and 1050 Ti launched, they're almost identical performance levels. So Pascal technically has some architectural updates that maybe came into play more often. My 960 card died, so I don't even think I have a 900 series anymore for that low. But when I last looked at it, the 1050 Ti was like 3% faster than a 960 4GB. So,
you know, that's actually a good point. We're talking about, like, technically, yes, the PC release is like the highest fidelity way you can play it if you push it, but it's also, I think, probably the lowest fidelity way you can play it too if you go with real low software and turn those settings low. So that kind of says something towards the accessibility argument that you were making earlier, Andrew.
Yeah, and I mean, like, yes, with Fidelity FX, if FSR and DLSS, so I guess FSR is really what we're talking about for low-end GPUs. You could play at 1080p, you can enable FSR quality mode, which will upscale, I believe it's 720p to 1080p, and still look pretty close to 1080p native, but run faster. And so it's like, it opens up this wide range of hardware. I suspect you can play it on anything that's like 1050 level or above. You might not get 60, but you can get close.
To clarify, I mean, this is per, you know, Sony's minimums here, but it was the 960 or the R9 290X for 720p at 30 frames per second. So that's not gonna, you're not even gonna get, I think, PS4 quality there, but it's something.
But you're gonna be able to play it. And back when I was in college, like, trying to play games on my awful old gaming laptop, but I was just so amazed that I could play like Xbox 360 quality games on not an Xbox 360. I felt like I was cheating the system by playing Mass Effect 2 on a laptop at like 15 FPS. So there are still people like that, I assume.
Yeah. Yep. There's the low spec gamer. They love that sort of stuff. But
yeah,
I mean, like, I need to try it on integrated graphics with Intel just for kicks and see, like, if I do 720p, set to minimum quality, enable Fidelity FX super resolution, you know, can I get it to 30 FPS? I suspect I probably can. Especially, like, one of the things that people forget is that the PlayStation 4, its GPU was okay back in the day. You know, it's kind of like the equivalent of, like, less than a GTX 960. But the CPU was really kind of crap. People will probably try to defend Jaguar, but Jaguar was slow. Like, it took 3 Jaguar cores to equal 1 core i5 core. So 8 cores, Jaguar is like 2.5 Intel cores. So, you know, we're talking about CPUs, even generations old CPUs that are 2-3 times the performance of the Jaguar processor. I suspect that will help keep it above 30 frames per second as well. I'll look at it. You know, I could try and boot it up, but it would take 20 minutes to get everything set up to give it a go. So, you know,
we do have an audience question here from Javier Perea, who asks, when you say playable, you mean 60 FPS average? I believe our base for playable is 30 FPS. If something is below 30 FPS, we don't consider it playable, but starting around 30 FPS, it may not be optimal, but we consider it playable.
Yeah. And I mean, it's funny because 60 FPS is like this, what do you want to call it? Like,
holy grail.
I mean, maybe for some, but everyone's like, oh, does it hit 60? Oh, it only got 45. I'm like, actually 30 feels choppy, but as you get like 40, 45, because your minimums start to stay above 30, it's very playable. I think
maybe
it's
the better comparison is Golden Calf. I don't like 60 FPS is just something that we idolize, that we maybe don't need to idolize in all cases.
Yeah. And, you know, the people who have their 144 hertz displays will say, well, what about that? And it's like, well, yeah, it gets better, but the jump from 30 to 60 is pretty significant. The jump from 60 to 120 or 144, it's far less noticeable in my experience, especially if you're not like a teenager hopped up on caffeine who has awesome
are we really gonna use God of War as the can you notice 30 versus 60 versus,
well, it's interesting because it's a story-based single player
Right.
It is based a lot around spectacle. So I think the way it's being pushed is more as like a quality mode fidelity thing. But at the same time, it is like an evolution of a character action game, sort of Devil May Cry style, fast, twitchy combat. So there is an argument to be had for higher reaction speeds here. That said, I mean, it was made with the PS4 in mind.
It doesn't require Twitch.
I was gonna say, having played it on a console, the game is absolutely gorgeous, even just at, you know, regular 1080p, and which is, I mean, I played it at 1080p on a PS5, and it's a beautiful game. There's tons of gorgeous scenery. The character models are lovely. There's all types of nature effects. I want those to look good if we can get it at 60 FPS, which it looks like a lot of people will be able to. Like, going back to the 10 series GTX cards means a lot of people will probably be able to get 60 FPS. That's great. But I think if you hit 45 or 50, you're still going to be wowed by how excellent everything else looks, especially if you can get it up to, especially if you get it above 1080p.
Well, why don't we talk about that? We've been talking about the low specs that this this PC port allows for. But of course, also, like, Tom's Hardware viewers, oftentimes enthusiasts, we want to push things beyond their maximum. And prior to this PC release, the highest fidelity you could get was on the PS5 version, which maxes out at a 4K checkerboard pattern, which isn't native 4K. It renders like half of the scene and then uses a filter to get the other half in, and 60 FPS cap. But this new PC port opens up a whole bevy of options, right? So if I go ahead and click this button here,
show me the charts.
Can I find the right button? It's been a little bit. Share screen. How fun doing this live. There we go.
Yay.
We have charts.
So this is native 4K, no DLSS, no FSR, maxed out ultra quality. So you've got higher resolution textures and all that stuff going on. And I mean, obviously, like, with GPUs being the way they are, it's hard to get a lot of the graphics cards that are currently available in theory. But still, it's like, okay, 3070 Ti and above manage 60 FPS with no real help being given their way. 3090, 3080 Ti, they're getting 80 plus frames per second. And so, you know, that's going to be an excellent experience for people who have those extreme graphics cards. And you look down and you're like, okay, the 2060, I mean, that's not that hard of a card to come by, right? And the 6600 XT, like, they're getting 30 frames per second basically at native 4K. So, you know, when we get to the FSR scaling, it's like, well, gosh, turn on FSR quality mode and you bump that up. Do you want to try, can you flip to the
FSR, next? Which one, ultra quality?
Let's skip that. Let's just go to quality. That'll be easier.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
We got
it. Here you go. Quality mode, and you're getting, we're back to ultra quality.
How fun.
His mind. Yes. So ultra quality is almost indistinguishable from native, especially at 4K. Like, basically, the higher your target resolution, the easier it is to interpolate and trick our eyes. But quality mode still upscales from 1440p. And now you see, like, we've got the 3090 3080 Ti at 110 frames per second, give or take. The 6800 XT, 3070 Ti, they're at 80-ish frames per second, 80 to 85. Even like the 3060 Ti, 6700 XT, those are 60 frames per second. 3060 Ti is, performance-wise, it's going to be about the same as like a RTX 2080. The 3060 is more like an RTX 2070. So, you know, when you put that in mind, you're like, oh, that's not too bad. You know, those are a lot of cards getting 50 to 70 frames per second. And you can always turn down the quality from ultra. Like, ultra is like your placebo quality in a lot of ways. So if you drop down to high, you're not going to miss a whole lot of the graphics fidelity, but you'll also get like another 20% boost in performance. And, you know, that starts opening it up to other cards. But you can see here, 5600 XT, 2060 and above, they're all at 40 frames per second or more, and that's definitely playable in my book. It might not be the smoothest experience possible, but It's better than consoles usually get with their 30 FPS targets on the previous generation.
Now, we do have a couple of questions here. We have a question from, I'm not going to, Aberke Godrilla. I'm sorry if I messed that up. Any VRAM utilization charts? I believe we don't have charts for that, but did you notice any VRAM tidbits in your testing, Jared?
Right. So the 2060 and the 5600 XT are both 6 gigabyte cards, and the game in its settings menu, it says it's using like 7 or 8 gigabytes depending on your resolution and settings. But since I was at 4K, it was saying it needed around 8 gigabytes. It didn't really seem to affect the 6 gigabyte cards much. So I think anything 6 gigabytes and above should be fine. If you're running at 1080p, I suspect a 4 gigabyte card will be sufficient. Meaning especially if you're running up 1080p and original quality or high quality, then I don't think you're going to run out of VRAM. The hard thing with VRAM is like finding out what a game really needs versus what it kind of sort of uses is different. So like you use utilities that will report what the game says it's using, but they often overestimate, and there's games that use all your available VRAM anyway. But in practice, like usually medium to high settings will get rid of any VRAM issues on a 4 gigabyte card, because you don't need 8K textures or even 4K textures for most people.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of options that make it available for most people, we have a couple of people asking about potentially playing it on GeForce Now or via the cloud. I don't believe you tested that, but you have tested GeForce Now RTX 3080 in the past, Jared, correct?
Yeah, and it's the RTX 3080 cloud option, GeForce Now option, is not actually a RTX 3080. It's like a, I can't remember the model off the top of my head, but
I want to say it's an A2000, but I might be wrong.
Yeah, in specs, it's actually closer to an RTX 3070, maybe a 3070 Ti. Like, it has 24 gigabytes of VRAM, but it has fewer shader cores and lower clocks and some other stuff. But the main thing being is it doesn't actually perform as fast as a native 3080, but I think it's probably going to be pretty close to your 3070 Ti. And so, yeah, if you've got GeForce Now, the
is the game available on GeForce Now right now?
I was just looking that up, and I'm looking at a GeForce page that I believe brings it up.
Look, the other thing to think about GeForce Now, however, is if you were to play it that way or any game that way, is which tier you have. Because obviously there's the free tier, which I'm not sure what the specs are in the free tier. And then they're promising you 1080p at 60 FPS on the priority tier. And then to get that 3080, you'd have to pay the $100 for 6 months RTX 3080 tier, promising up to 1440p at 120 frames. So depends who you are. I mean, it's definitely cheaper than a graphics card if you want to play one game, but it does depend on what tier you're on, what quality you'd get.
Yeah, I think the premier tier is more or less the equivalent of a 2080. The free tier is kind of like a shared half of a 2060. So it's definitely like when I tried GeForce Now the last time, several months back, the free tier was playable, but you definitely had to drop settings down a notch and temper your expectations. And getting kicked off every hour and having to reconnect was not like the epitome of awesome gaming.
I was going to say God of War is the type of like deep story game that like,
yeah, you'll be in the middle of a
cutscene. You'll want to stay. Yeah.
I'll be in the middle of a pivotal moment and I'll get kicked off. So I'm like, okay, if like, I think that's the one where you want to invest in at least the priority tier, just to make sure that you get at least, I mean, I don't always have the time to game for 6 hours in a row, but to not get kicked off after 1 hour would be nice.
Yes.
Right. It breaks your immersion. I was looking at the GeForce Now. I do want to correct myself. Looking at NVIDIA's announcement, it was just talking about DLSS, which we can get into later. I did see some rumors that it might be coming to GeForce Now, but you know, we don't know for certain.
It seems like there's a lot of stuff on Steam that works with GeForce Now, so I wouldn't be surprised if it's enabled in the next, you know, month or the next update or whatever.
Right.
I guess we'll wait and see.
But speaking of DLSS, we're on FSR quality right now, but if I bump us over to DLSS quality, we can see how it compares to that.
Yeah, and what you find. So DLSS quality mode is actually their highest quality implementation. So it's still 1440p upscaled, this time via AI enhancements to 4K. Performance is a little lower than the FSR 1440p upscaling, but I would say image quality is better on DLSS. Would you really notice in motion? Probably not. What I found is if you compared the frame rates between the various modes, DLSS quality performed nearly the same as FSR ultra quality, and then it kind of just steps down a notch. So it's like at the end, DLSS ultra performance mode performed about the same as the FSR performance mode. That was actually the only one where I really felt like DLSS maybe wasn't that great, was ultra performance upscaling, because that's 720p. And even at 4K, like, there were clear artifacts when you'd run around. It's weird because you'd see like a fuzziness on a tree or a bush or grass or whatever. And then as you got a little closer, it'd suddenly clear up. And I'm like, whoa, that was interesting. And I don't know if that was the game doing weird things or because of DLSS, but maybe both.
I saw that as well. If you're looking at quality, just pure fidelity, DLSS, I saw, seems to win out in this game. But when you're putting them at their highest fidelity, if you look at performance, I think FSR has a slight gain over DLSS for this, correct?
Yeah, it's the FSR ultra quality, I want to say it's like 2 or 3% faster than DLSS quality. NVIDIA and AMD might split hairs over what's what and all that stuff, but I think most people wouldn't really notice. I will say, though, like, this is if you're going after 4K. If you're going after 1080p, suddenly, like, both DLSS and FSR, you don't want to go for their performance modes, like the higher upscaling factors, because it becomes really noticeable. 'Cause, like, 1080p... with DLSS, I think it's just the quality. No, it's maybe the balanced mode. Anyway, one of those is upscaling 720p. And, you know, I just said, well, ultra performance upscaling 720p to 4K didn't look awesome. It kind of works out similarly at 1080p that you don't want to have really low rendering resolution upscaled. So be mindful of that. But overall, I think you can play with the settings and find something that will make you happy and should run well. And if you don't have the latest and greatest PC, you know, temper your expectations, lower the desktop resolution if you have a high resolution monitor, whatever you need to do, but you should be able to get a good experience.
Awesome. I have to imagine there's an auto configurator, right? That, like,
what modes do we have in this? We were talking about it a bit before the show, but why don't I let you go through them?
There's four presets. There's low, original, high, and ultra, and then there's the custom preset. There is no auto, but I think I want to say it detected on one of my graphics cards and configured it at the, I think it used the ultra preset just by default.
But so it detected it as...
Yeah, it seemed to. It's hard to say because when you switch graphics cards, it didn't, like, reset the settings, which I appreciate as a reviewer, because I hate when, like, every time you switch cards, the game's like, oh, I'm going back to my auto settings, and then you have to change them and sometimes reboot and all that. But anyway, there is no auto quality, but you can just use the presets. There are only 7 advanced settings if you go to the custom option, not a ton of dials to tweak. I think the big ones were, like, reflections could help a little bit, and it didn't, like, reflections is probably the least important thing in this game that I saw. Maybe not least important, but there's not a whole lot of areas that are reflective and you go, oh man, that looks really cool. Shadows had a big impact on performance, but it is noticeable when you turn down the shadow resolution. So, like, if you set shadows to low, and you compare them, it's like, yeah, they look like these blobby dark spots compared to kind of crisp shadows. So you can tweak that. The other 5 settings, let me just pull them up so I can list them off here. But anisotropic filtering, model quality, atmospherics and ambient occlusion, none of those seem to do more than like a couple of percent difference in performance. Texture quality, you can turn down if your card doesn't have enough VRAM, but in general, like 8 gigabytes, I think you'll be fine. If you have a card that has 4 gigabytes, you can turn down textures to like medium or original quality, and you should still be okay.
I want to turn down the resolution. I want to turn down the resolution explicitly on the character model for Atreus when he starts to act like a little entitled jerk.
Is that Atreus is boy, right?
Yeah, Atreus is boy.
Oh, is boy. That's what I call him. But Jared, it's you bring up the original mode. We were talking about this before. The original mode, I believe, matches the PS4 Pro specs, correct?
I don't have a PS4 Pro, so I'm not entirely sure, but like that would make sense. It's basically medium quality, and that's, you know, for the PlayStation 4 Pro, that would make sense.
How does it compare to low mode is what I'm curious about. Did you do a little A-B testing with that?
In terms of performance or appearance?
Both, but primarily appearance, I think.
Let me see if I can. Do I have screen sharing on my side?
You should.
Hold on a second. I gotta step through this in live mode.
So you don't have to pull up the game and go through it live if you don't.
Well, no,
want
I was
to.
Gonna try and share. Let's see, remove it. No, how do I share something?
There's we're using a backend, by the way, that some of us have more experience with than others. So bear with
there
us.
It is. It's
it's next to the button you don't want to press that kicks you out of the studio.
In the meantime, we have some performance charts that we didn't get a chance to look at. I don't think it's going to tell you much other than, you know, you sacrifice from some fidelity for some speed, but it's similar graphics card rankings.
It tells you that if you have an RTX 3090, you should try to play the game at 8K and see what happens.
You see them reaching at these 4K settings, though. You see them not quite reaching 144 hertz, but I believe frame rate, even on like the highest performance mode, but I believe frame rates are uncapped for this release. So, low settings, you could do that.
Yeah, you can turn down the frame rate cap goes up to 120, but if you take it all the way to the bottom, then it says off. So
great.
I've shared a screen. I think you need to let it into the
Okay. Apps. I will. Oh, I see it. I see it. So if I go add to stream, there we go.
All right. So that is low quality. Again, it's 4K. But you know, you can see the textures. I'll just flip through them. So that's low. This is medium. So even with the video compression and everything, you can see that the shadows become blobby at medium or original quality, they become a lot more distinct. High, see that toggle? High gets the shadows a little bit more distinct, and ultra adds more shadows, more foliage, and you know, everything looks a little better. If you just like leave everything on ultra and turn down the shadows a notch, that's probably still going to look pretty close to what you see on the ultra. So ultra, high, original, and low. And honestly, like, despite
I'm sure
the shadows
in motion it matters more, but
yeah, like, well, it doesn't though. Like, I could play this game at low, and if you know didn't let me look at the settings menu, I probably wouldn't care much, right? I wouldn't be like going, oh man, it doesn't look right. It's only when you realize like, oh, it can look better, that you start going, oh well, that's too bad, right? But in general, like it's actually quite, it looks very good, even at the minimum settings. So that's kind of my take on it, is don't get hung up on maxing out your graphics settings if you don't have to. A steady 50 to 60 frames per second feels a lot better, even if it doesn't look quite as nice, than 30 frames per second dropping sometimes into the 20s.
I think I agree. I got a 4K OLED TV earlier in the year, which is pretty much my only 4K gaming experience. I'm looking at a 1440p PC monitor right now, which was prior to that my highest fidelity screen. And I was playing Miles Morales on the PS5 earlier, and the difference between quality mode 4K at 30 and performance mode, like I think 1080p at 60, was night and day. I just love the 60 FPS so much more. I think, Andrew, you can probably back me up on that.
I mean, yeah, it's a funny thing. It's like, I mean, you talk about PlayStation and like the cross-gen between PS4 and PS5. It's like Spider-Man was remastered, like the original Spider-Man was remastered for PS5. And going back, it's like, I can't go back to the old one again. Like, what? It's like when people really see, like when people get those like high refresh rate monitors for the same time, it's the same, but like people are experiencing it for the first time. Like, my TV could do this. I could run at 60. I would gladly give up some of the fancier reflections and whatever small level of ray tracing some of these games offer to get the 60 frames per second easily. And I mean, I think, like you said, the God of War, it's funny because God of War is probably designed as like a 60 frames per second experience, right? Mm-hmm. They're doing this, they're putting it out on the PS4. They probably know the PS5's coming.
But like, it's 4 years old. It's right. I hate saying this about a game that's only 4 years old, but it's a little bit older.
And a bit older.
Yeah, it makes sense that it can run on this hardware, and it's made with the idea of being both forward facing, but also having a wide install base in mind. So of course they're gonna make it so that it looks good regardless of how high fidelity you can play it at.
See, like, it's funny because I see one of like Jared had a screenshot for 4K low, and I just kind of like laughed because I'm like, I don't know, 4K, like, there's, to me, that is the type of thing I would not personally do. Like, I'd rather have the mix, but you mm-hmm. could do whatever you want. That's PC, right?
To be fair, we are, you know, running this through our stream. There's going to be compression here. It's not going to look exactly like as if you were playing it, but you know, oftentimes with these kind of games, you're splitting hairs. There are a couple of viewer comments that I want to address. Number one from Radu, who says, nobody watches this stream, Twitch viewer.
Thanks, Radu.
Thanks, Radu. I normally wouldn't bring a comment like that up here, but I do want to bring it up and say we stream to multiple platforms all the time. So if you're not seeing anyone on Twitch, I guarantee you there are viewers on other platforms watching right now.
If you like it, bring your friends to your platform.
But yeah, we're always looking to stretch out. I'm always happy to get a Twitch viewer. So hopefully you can help change that. We also have another comment here. I hate 4K, 1440p at 144 hertz. You know, we started talking about playing it at lower settings, higher FPS just now. But yeah, we've been mostly focusing on all of our charts on 4K so far. But like I said, on PC, I play at 1440p. So like, what would you recommend to someone who's willing to sacrifice some resolution?
I mean, 1440p is the sweet spot because you can buy those 144 hertz 1440p monitors for, I want to say they're like $300 now. That's not bad. Like, that's half the price of a GPU. of a budget GPU.
That will last longer.
Yeah. I mean, I moved to a 30-inch display back in 2007, and that was 2560 by 1600. And I still kind of miss that display because, like, the modern screens are mostly 4K, 27-inch or 28-inch, and there's all 60 hertz. And it's like, yeah, it was great being able to get a larger, like, the smaller pixel sizes aren't the be-all, end-all for mm-hmm. me, especially in Windows where I don't want to use anything but 100% scaling.
I'm on a 32-inch 1440p fairly recent screen from MSI, but I don't like going 4K. Anything lower than 28 inches.
That's what I'm on, is a 28-inch. I'm on the 28-inch 4K.
But like, especially as your monitor gets smaller, higher resolutions become a little bit more of a, decreasing concerns. Words are leaving my brain. Cover for me.
Yes. Yeah, I don't think like it's important to run. It's like the laptops with 4K screens, and they're like a 15-inch or 14-inch laptop, and it's like, great, so now we just have to use 200% scaling in Windows to make it usable. you know, yeah, you can't see the pixels. Well, I've got a 28-inch 4K display, and my vision's not great enough that I can see the pixels on it. So, you know, there's that. But yeah, I think 1440p 144 hertz is still the sweet spot. And it's kind of funny that the consoles don't really, unless you're using a monitor, they don't really target that.
It's so funny. We got one console that was supposed to target that this generation, which was the Xbox Series S, and yeah, it's not 1440p in all honesty, right, Andrew?
Off the top of my head, I don't remember. I know I'm pretty sure the PS. Well, I think it typically targets. I think if I remember correctly, and don't quote me on this, I'll look it up. But I believe the Xbox can hit 14 was, or they were talking about adding it while Sony was still not there yet.
Gotcha. Oh, I was talking about the Series S.
The Series S specifically. I think that's going to depend on the game.
That's true.
It supports it just doesn't necessarily run it well.
Right. So moving off of GPUs.
Well, I was right. It does look like Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One X, and Xbox One S all do support 1440p if you have a monitor or television that supports it. I'm not sure if the PlayStation got there.
But if you plug into 4K display on a console, like, there's no resolution option, is there? I guess.
Yeah, there's not typically a resolution option.
It's like normally game dependent, right? Which is why, yeah, I bring up the Series S is kind of 1440p, because I've seen reports that, you know, with certain games, if you push it up that high, you're getting really middling frame rates.
So yeah, I've looked at the PS5 doesn't have 1440p. I was right there. But that's actually why I thought it was interesting when he said, oh yeah, it has a really limited advanced settings menu. Oh yeah, there's just these seven settings, because that is probably it coming out of the console, because the console versions, when the PS5 and the Xbox Series X and S launched, it was like a big deal to see games with settings menus almost that, I mean, not at all, but to have that many at all to turn on and change effects and things like that. So,
well, I don't want tons of settings. Like, I even though I say it's only seven, like, let me be clear. I've tested games, like, I want to say Forza Horizon 5 had 15 or 20 settings. And like, I went through them all and I looked at them. And I would say of those 20 settings, only five really mattered. So you're like, what are you giving me? Oh, you can turn off this effect that you can hardly even tell whether it's on in the first place. Congratulations. And it doesn't affect the performance either. So
The settings in console games typically have more of like the way this game has like a low, original, high, ultra. They typically go that way, where there's like a performance mode, and that is going for high, that, and that one aims for high frame rates in 1080p. And then there will be, you know, a ultra mode, and that one will aim for 4K with all of the bells and whistles on and try to hit 30, and maybe another one in between there somewhere. So it's not necessarily tweakable in the way where it's like, oh, I want to set it to 1440p or set it to 1080p. That's usually at the console level. And then the games differ, but they still don't give you the same tweaking options.
That kind of touches on another comment. I said earlier that it was forward facing, and our friend Radu said it does have DirectX 11. When I said forward facing, I meant it's a PS4 game that doesn't really run well on PS4, but they know the PS5 is coming down the line. But that is interesting that this PC port, which is new, uses DirectX 11. At the same time, it seems to run pretty well, right, Jared?
Yeah, I mean, like, API isn't that critical. Like, I would say the big deal about it being DirectX 11 more than anything is that NVIDIA has better optimized DirectX 11 drivers. Like, basically, you have like a shader compiler that creates the shader code that runs on your actual GPU with DirectX 11, whereas DirectX 12, you're kind of writing that shader code in the raw and feeding that to the card. And so the net result is, if you have a really good shader compiler like NVIDIA does, then sometimes DirectX 11 actually runs faster than DirectX 12. Whereas AMD, I hate to say it, but even after all this time, their DirectX 11 still tends to be more iffy. And so AMD released a game ready driver for this, and they claimed it boosted performance by 7%. I suspect if they put the effort into it, if they tune things more, and, you know, it's man hours and time, but they could probably get another 10 to 15% performance out of it. but they're just not as worried about DirectX 11 tuning these days. So, you know, the consoles, they kind of have code that's written to the metal because mm-hmm. they have a single platform, and that benefits console ports that stick with low-level APIs on AMD hardware.
That actually brings me to, I want to talk about the other Sony PC ports, but before we do that, there's some user comments that I want to address. And while we're talking about things that aren't strictly GPU related, we have another comment asking from AbarK Godrilla, I'm sorry if I messed that up again. How does the core slash cache size scale with CPUs?
I didn't test. Sorry. I get it's one of these things. So I got the game. What's today? Thursday. So I got the game Tuesday night from NVIDIA, and I could post about it as of yesterday morning. But by yesterday morning, I had almost nothing ready to actually post. Like, I'm sitting there in the middle of testing, trying to do things, and kind of Paul is our CPU tester. I do have multiple CPUs available, but it just takes, you know, everything that you test takes time. And so I really just focused on running some benchmarks with recent graphics cards to show how it ran, looking at FSR and DLSS performance. Like, there's a ton of stuff that I could still test on this. I'm not sure if there's really a demand for it, but from what I saw, I mean, I tested on 9900K. So that's a, you know, 8-core, 16-thread. It's, what, 4 years old now? Man, it seems, doesn't even feel that slow considering how old it is. So I think anything, you know, at that level, 6 cores or better from Intel or AMD Ryzen should be more than sufficient for at least breaking the 60 FPS mark. And in fact, I wager you could probably go back to like a fourth generation i5, well, maybe not i5, i7 with 4 cores and 8 threads, and you'd still get over 60. It's only when you go to like the Core i3s or the AMD FX series CPUs that you're going to run into CPU problems.
Awesome.
Just because I have it up, the minimum is, again, recommended minimum. An i5 2500K and a Ryzen 3 or a Ryzen 3 1200. And then for recommended is an i5 6600K or Ryzen 5 2400. So they're starting at Ryzen. So there does seem to be some degree of CPU.
i5 2500K is pretty dang old.
Yeah.
Second generation. Yeah. That's like a 2011.
I mean, I pretty much never go by the minimum specs. I feel like those are like grocery store expiration dates, in my opinion. You know, they're a recommendation.
Well, keep in mind, like, because this was a console port that was made to run on Jaguar cores, like, An old Sandy Bridge second generation i5 with only 4 cores, that's still faster than a Jaguar 8-core. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, also when this came out in, 2018 on the PS4, the PS4 was several years old at that point. Yep. So it's been pretty flexible.
And I couldn't finish the game because of the PS4, partially because of stuttering, partially because of noise. I don't have any testing to point to. And I do want to talk about your experience on PS5, Andrew. Yeah. But while we're talking about Sony games for PC overall, we have a comment from David James who says, I hope Sony keeps releasing some games for PC. I have been pretty impressed to see this initiative from them. I'd love to see more in the future. I'm surprised that these ports are as good as they are. I'm a JRPG fan. I like a lot of Japanese games. Sony's a Japanese studio, but obviously has a much wider market. But oftentimes I have to live with really bad PC ports, and that seems like it's not the case here. Jared, you also did our Horizon Zero Dawn PC port review, correct? Do you have any like comparisons? Like, I know they're different studios overall, but.
Well, and the port for God of War was not done by, I'm drawing a blank on the name.
Sony Santa Monica.
Sony Santa Monica?
I think Jetpack Interactive did the PC port.
Right.
Right. And so, you know, Santa Monica didn't do the port itself, but they outsourced it. But I think the interesting thing is, like, Sony is probably, I suspect they probably got some really good financial gains when they released, like, Horizon Zero Dawn, on Windows PCs, and they went, oh, wow, there's a huge untapped market of gamers that never played our games, and we just sold a bunch more copies, and all we had to do was port it. And, you know, porting's not easy per se, but it's way easier than creating a new game from scratch. And so Microsoft has this approach now where any of their first-party games are pretty much launched simultaneously on Windows, on the Microsoft Store.
Simultaneously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And so they started doing that, and I think Microsoft had discovered the same thing earlier, and they said, oh, you know what? We're not actually hurting our console sales by supporting Windows. And I think some Sony executives probably looked at that and said, we should try that as well. So you've got, like, Death Stranding, I think, was the
first one, right? And that's also a really good port, from what I hear.
Yeah,
Death Stranding's rough because weird one, because it was an exclusive, but it was like that one's typically not considered like one of like the Sony a PlayStation Sony game. Studios.
Well, it's not,
not
like
a PlayStation
one of those,
Studios game.
It's a Kojima game,
right?
Yeah, but it was exclusive to PlayStation, and so
for a little bit,
you know,
yeah.
So they've started porting these games, and I think what they're realizing is like, hey, we can do this. I think it's only a matter of time before they even take the next step and go, you know what? We don't need to have it ported like 3 years, 4 years later. We can probably do it the same time or at most a few months after the launch.
I think there's always going to be,
I
think there's always going to be a wait with Sony, at least for a while, because they don't have, like Microsoft. It's almost in their interest to do it. That is their philosophy now, is PC gamers and Xbox gamers, everything's across. You can access things on one and the other. Not so much with Sony, which has the more traditional route with the console, and they want to keep selling that console and treat it first and have people buy that and play their games there. So, I mean, obviously Horizon Zero Dawn came out, God of War came out, good ports. I think Days Gone also came out. I believe that was a PS4 port. Uncharted Legacy of Thieves Collection is supposed to come out, which I think a lot this year, which people are looking forward to. But I think there's something, just by not releasing it first, it pushes people to play it on PlayStation. Who wants to wait? I agree, it doesn't need to be this long. But some of this seems a little bit timed in a way. Releasing Horizon Zero Dawn last year, when Horizon Forbidden West is coming out this year, is a great play, because some of those people are going to want to rush to PS5 or PS4.
God of War Ragnarok also comes out in a few months, I believe. So you're using the old game as marketing for the new game.
Right. I mean, I don't know if that's exactly their plan, but it's the way I see it in my head. Is like, if I first played God of War now on PC and I was playing it and I said, oh man, what am I missing? Like, what was I missing? I need to play Ragnarok. I need to see where this goes. Well, I might not wait for it to come out on PC, whether it's going to be 6 months, like a movie going to Disney Plus, or even a year. I might just say, hey, maybe I'm going to get a PS5 and that's going to supplement my PC gaming. But then again, at least this is coming to PC at all. It just opens it up for so many people. And a lot of Sony's first party games are just terrific. So it's great for more people to get to play them.
There's so many ways that you could look at this. Like, you could say Sony's realized that, you know, porting to PC doesn't really hurt them that much because everyone has a PC, and sure, it's Microsoft aligned, but people don't get a PC because it's Microsoft. They get a PC because they want a computer. At the same time, you could say, yeah, but releasing it on PC early means people are less incentivized to buy it on their consoles. Or releasing it late could be a sort of marketing tactic, or they're just releasing it late when they realize they've sold as many console copies as they possibly have. And at this point, they should widen the net. I'm not an executive. I don't know, but there's a lot
to know the numbers, right? Like
there's a lot of potential reasons for these decisions.
I mean, Microsoft has even taken the step, like originally their Play Anywhere initiative was you buy it once on Xbox or Windows Store and you get both versions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now they've taken it a little bit further and they're like, these games, some of them are coming to Steam. They're not even the Microsoft Store exclusives, because the Microsoft Store is awful.
I don't use it.
Like, I only use it for the games that are only there, but
Halo Infinite's on Steam if you want to go there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's like Halo Infinite's on the Microsoft Store. And if you buy that version, you get access to the Xbox version. If you buy the Steam version, you don't get access to the Xbox version of Halo Infinite. But, you know, it's interesting that Microsoft has taken that step after a few years. And it seems to indicate, like, the bean counters are probably looking at this and saying, hey, we're spending millions of dollars to create these high fidelity, high end games. And you know what? If we can double our sales by opening it up to Windows PCs as well as the Xbox, we should do that. And I think as long as those numbers back it up, you'll see Sony continue to start pushing more games to the PC as well.
I'm curious to see how this affects console strategy going forward, because I feel like a big part of the PS4's appeal is, oh, we have those cinematic Hollywood games like Uncharted and Last of Us, and now the PS5 still has those, but maybe now you're playing on console specifically for the, you know, ease of setup or for the ease of playing from the couch, and not because it's the only way to play. You're playing on it because of the console experience over, you know, choosing to play on PC.
Yeah, I mean, it's way easier to get. I mean, it's not, I shouldn't say it's easier to get one, but you get one and it's there. You don't have, like, I was going to say it's easier to get to a GPU. That's honestly not true. It's no easier to get than a GPU.
No, you get it. Still has PlayStation.
I mean, I do have a PS5 that, right, I could probably get a GPU for around the same effort that I put into getting a PS5. The problem is then I'd have to get everything else that goes with the GPU.
And that's why a lot of people like the consoles, and I don't blame them. It's easy. You get it out of the box, you plug it in, and for, I don't know, 6 to 8 years, you can reliably play titles. That's not bad.
Yeah. So, Andrew, part of the reason I brought you onto the show, I'm sorry we haven't had a chance to really dive into it yet. We've gone into the PC play experience. We've gone into the PS4 play experience. Just like for that console crowd, this is out on PS5 now. It's been out on PS5. It has a PS5 upgrade. If you don't have a PC, but you do have one of those, you know, are you still getting a good experience? How did you enjoy it on PS5?
The game runs great on PS5. No complaints, no notes. I mean, it was funny because I remember when I started playing it, and I played it a little, obviously I played it on the PS5, so I didn't play it as soon as it came out. I remember messaging you saying, like, did you play God of War? And you're like,
I remember
it's like you gave up. It was horrible. I'm like, this game's so good. What do you mean it's horrible? And I realized you playing on the base PS4. But in this case, like, I mean, I was playing it on like on a 1080p TV at the time. So I'm not going to tell you I was playing it like on the fancy 4K OLED that you've got going on.
I used to have a terrible 1080p TV. Right. I understand.
There were no performance issues. It kind of, I mean, if this was designed for in a way to run optimally on the PS4 Pro, this did it. And like, did it pretty silent. Like, it, you talked about noise. This did it fairly silently. Like, it was a really good experience. I can't guarantee that'll be the case against all, you know, cross-gen games. In fact, I'm really curious how the fact that the sequel Ragnarok is supposed to come out for PS4. I'm really curious to see how that's going to go.
I know we've been talking about performance too. The thing that concerns me about Ragnarok, though, if we want to take our eyes off of performances a bit, is I believe it's a different writer. So that's interesting to hear. I don't know why they would make that decision so quickly, but that's not necessarily the discussion we're having.
I also just want to go back to the thing. I guess we were talking about releasing on PC versus the console when they do it. There are some rumors, or like there's some reports suggesting, and I don't think I haven't verified this at all, but there are rumors of it that there might be a sort of PlayStation Now Game Pass rival.
Right. And that is the one we are reaching time, but that is the one topic I wanted to get on as we ended the show.
I'm curious what that would look like if, you know, you are a person who plays some of Sony's games on PCs, but maybe also have a PlayStation. Would this be the type of thing where you just get a series of PlayStation's best titles on PlayStation, or could they expand that to PC and mean, hey, if you have PlayStation Now Plus or whatever, then maybe you get access to all the PC games and some PS5 games. I'm really curious to see how that would work, but I'm not sure how. I mean, I was going to say I'm not sure. Oh, it's not tenable to wait 3 years, but clearly it is very tenable.
Right
to wait
now,
3 years,
I believe you can use PS Now to do cloud streaming to the PC, which is not an ideal solution. But given that there's still only a few official PC ports for their recent first-party games, I don't know if they can get away from that for a while, because it's like, oh, PS Now Plus on PC. I want to play Uncharted. Too bad. You know, we only have a PS4 or PS5 version.
It would be nice if you could, like, just download the game, very much how Xbox Game Pass works. Oh, I want to play Microsoft Flight Simulator on my PC, and I don't have it, but I have Game Pass. Let me log into the Xbox app, download the game, and as long as I have the subscription, I have permission. But
Right, right. I'm just
that would
saying like
require,
the
a lot of investment
library
on
of
Sony's part.
PC capable PlayStation games is still a little thin, but I would love to see it keep expanding.
Right.
But when you look
This
at
would be
it
a start.
too, like if you look at the games that have been ported, yeah, they were probably big, huge releases for the PlayStation back in the day, but like a good game from 5, 10 years ago is still actually a good game today. And
Right.
so,
I
you
want to see
know,
them backporting now.
yeah, like there's a lot of games that haven't been put out on PC that they could still go back to. And it's like, you know, we might kind of raise our eyes. And I joked in the tag of the God of War performance article, I'm like, yeah, you know, only 3 or 4 years late. But when you get right down to it, it's like, you know what? I haven't beat Horizon Zero Dawn, but I played some of it. And it didn't feel like a game that was 4 years old when I was playing it, right? It's like, oh yeah, it's a new game. I haven't played it before. The only way it feels old is if you actually knew someone who played it or saw it and played it yourself in the past. It's like these games, it's like I think games 3 years from now aren't going to feel that much different from games we're playing today.
That's the real secret for gaming, is so long as you don't need to keep up with the Twitter discourse or whatever, you should actually play all of your games on a delay, and then it's super cheap.
It is.
But yeah, I would love to see Last Guardian PC, Shadow of the Colossus PC, Uncharted PC.
I think that's
Keep it
coming,
up.
Uncharted.
It is.
Yeah, Uncharted, I believe they're you can technically, it's listed here on Steam and on Epic Games. They haven't, or it's the Legacy of Thieves collection, right? So I guess that's what, four, and I'm blanking on the name of the spinoff of four, even though I played it and loved it.
I'm not an Uncharted fan. I just know a lot of
Yeah.
people play them.
Go,
Andrew's going to get on me for that as
yeah.
well.
Oh no, that's a fun. I mean, some of it's a little, there are some of them are better than others, but I
I do think
recommend it.
Tom Holland is horribly miscast as Nathan Drake, to get off topic again.
Young Nathan Drake.
That's fair. Okay.
Uncharted: The Lost Legacy was what I was thinking, which I think is the one
Thank
in the
you.
bundle. Is in theory, I believe that's also coming, though I don't think there's a release date. It's just planned for 2022, which they're releasing a sort of re-release on the PS5, I believe. So that would be them sort of launching a remake on both PC and PS5 at the same time.
Uncharted 4 is coming to Steam, but would
Yeah.
love the trilogy as well. Same for Ghost of Tsushima. That's another good one that
Yeah.
they could port. I would have ported that before Days Gone, but again, I'm getting into my opinions here.
Bring Ratchet and Clank to PC. Let's.
That would be wonderful. Although Ratchet and Clank was a big showcase for the speed of the
Of the
PS5's
SSD, yeah.
SSD. Granted, PC also plenty capable of speedy SSDs, but with the game being built around it to such a degree, they'll have to take varying hardware into account.
Yeah.
But that is actually a good point before we leave. If we want to hit on one more performance metric, Jared, what were the load times like for this game?
Pretty minimal. Like, I mean, obviously, I'm not running a low-end PC and I'm using an SSD, but like, I would say it probably launches in like 20 seconds from launch to being at the main menu. And then once you load a save or whatever, continue the game, I would say it's probably under 10 seconds on a decent system. So it didn't leave me like painfully waiting like Red Dead Redemption 2 that takes forever.
Yeah, and the game effectively, one thing that's great about God of War is the game effectively is told over the shoulder entirely through the entire game. They do some clever things to hide loading,
Yeah,
so
that's true. That's true.
you'll notice, oh, this hallway. Maybe sometimes you'll notice, oh, this hallway is definitely them loading something. But like once you do it that first time, you're not gonna have to worry about it for the rest of your
I'm
play session.
curious to see how much more rare loading hallways and corridors become in games. I remember I was playing Miles Morales and had some of those sequences where you have to stretch between two really tight spaces and you're like, they're loading something. But they're only loading something because this is a PS4 game as well. There's no reason my PS5 needs this loading corridor, but You know, that's again looking towards the future. At this point, we're talking about Spider-Man, we're talking about Tom Holland, we're talking about Days Gone. So I think we can probably wrap up the show. But thank you so much for joining me, Andrew. Thank you so much for joining me, Jared, Sony. Thank you for the God of War PC port, and keep it up. On that note, I will see you next Thursday at 3 p.m. as always for the next edition of the Tom's Hardware Show. Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.